For a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus our Lord and Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
When burdens come so hard to bear that no earthly friend can share, tears drive away the smiles and leave my heart in pain, then my Lord from heaven above speaks to me in tones of love. Wipes the tears away and makes me smile again. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. The thought to me is sweet that my loved ones I will meet at the ending of the journey here below. Seems I hear their voices blend in a world without an end. I won't worry when the time shall come to go. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. When Jesus comes to claim his own, I will move to my new home. I'll walk and talk with him upon streets of gold. A mansion there is waiting me. Soon its beauty I will see in that city where we never shall grow old. I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in glory land.
One of the greatest signs of the end times is that the gospel is being preached in all the ends of the earth. For the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we see that happening as technology takes over. We can preach a message, and in Africa, they listen to it the same day or almost the same hour, as technology enables us
to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is very simple. It is not some religious organization. It is simply turning to Jesus for salvation. For the Bible teaches us that he was crucified for the whole world. He gave his life for all the world to come to him by faith. When he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That means every sin was taken care of at the cross of Calvary. We don't need to add on to that. We don't need to subtract it. We can see many, many nations turning against the gospel. We see incredibly irreligious organizations all over the world. In India, in the Muslim countries, strange ideas on how to appease God. Here in the Western world, all sorts and ideas of how to appease God in religious organizations. Denominations are split apart because of difference of opinion as far as serving God is concerned. The main thing is we need the gospel. We need to preach that Jesus is Lord and there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Anybody who comes with another gospel, the Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians, is let him be accursed. So for those of you who are listening out there, who are not born again by the Spirit of God, you need to understand that if you don't have a relationship with God, if you have not become born again by the Spirit of God, and you pass from this life, you will have to spend your eternity separated from God, because the Bible teaches us very clearly, if you're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be sent into the eternal lake of fire. And any person who is not born again will not be written in the Book of Life. So today, again, I will bring forth a message of salvation and how to attain it. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to the truth, for we are fast running out of time. Lord God, you will anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to religion, when it comes to Christianity, most religions have buried the cross beneath the debris of all their religious exercises and rules and laws. By the time you preach the cross, a person is indoctrinated with all sorts of ideas on how to appease God for their sin. And I grew up in a religion like that. By the time I heard of the cross of Calvary, I was completely saturated with rules, laws, do's and don'ts, and all sorts of strange ideas on how to live a godly life so maybe I would get into heaven. Well, Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, and that's what he did with me. He opened my eyes to the truth of Scripture and proclaimed by Scripture that there is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. The Bible teaches us, to them that believe in the name of Jesus, them give he the power to become the sons of God. And the Bible also teaches us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say, for God so loved the church. It says, for God so loved the world. That means everyone who is born as a human being on this planet. But religions have made it so complicated that people are just saturated with preconceived ideas when you try to teach them about salvation. In Romans chapter 10 in verse 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul runs into the same problem as we have today. Religion had overtaken the Israelites and has completely saturated them. So when the gospel came along, they were so completely immersed in religion that they even persecuted those that believed. Just like religions operate today, when you come with the message of salvation, you get persecuted. I personally have experienced that. The Apostle Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Look at this scripture. It tells us that the Jews, the Israelites, were ignorant of the righteousness of God. And that is exactly how religions are today. They are ignorant of the righteousness that God demands from everyone. Regardless how righteous you think you are, you need to be perfect in the eyes of God. True righteousness is perfection in God's eyes before you can attain salvation. And the Bible teaches us that people are ignorant of that righteousness. And when the Bible teaches us very clearly that righteousness we cannot attain ourselves. That holiness, that purity, we cannot attain it ourselves. It has to be given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ when we become born again by the Spirit of God. So here it goes. It says they're ignorant. They don't know about what God demands of us. He demands perfection. He demands purity. He demands holiness. Before we can be entered into that book of life. Everyone who is listening today better pay close attention. In the eyes of God, your spirit has to be perfect, pure, holy, righteous, sanctified, set apart, a new creation, before you can even be written into the Lamb's Book of Life. If you are not that, then you are going to be rejected. That righteousness has to be established by each and every person who claims to know the Lord, each and every person who wants to enter into the kingdom. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10 in verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." It is very simply explained in the Word of God. The law has been put aside. The law has been taken out of the way and nailed to the tree. It says, "For Christ is the end of the law." The law could not bring you into eternal life. The law was there to serve you that and tell you that you fall short of the glory of God. It could not bring holiness to you. The law was simply there to remind us that we're failures, that we're lost. We're dead in trespasses and sin. When Jesus preached during his reign here on earth, he simply proclaimed the law, and he even lifted it higher. He said, not only is a man guilty of adultery when he commits the act, he says a man is guilty of adultery when he thinks about it. Not only is a man guilty of murder when he kills somebody, he is guilty of murder when he thinks about it. So the law has been elevated to a point where nobody can attain it, especially when you hear Jesus preaching on it. So what do we do? What do we do about it? The law was taken out of the way, first of all, and nailed to the tree. How then do we come to know the Lord? The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10, the word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word of faith which we preach. The Bible teaches us the just shall live by faith. And here it tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe in the finished work of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, and accept that for your salvation, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You don't confess you're saved until you know in your heart that you are righteous, holy, and pure. That's what it means when a man believes unto righteousness with the heart, and then he confesses with his mouth. That's what happens when a person becomes born again by the Spirit of God. His heart understands that he is saved, and then he starts to explain it to everybody. I remember when I first got saved years ago in a Hutterite colony. I started to proclaim to people that I was saved, that I was righteous. I don't know if I used the word righteous yet in those days, but I for sure told people I was saved. And they thought, I thought I was higher than anybody else. No, that's not what I thought. I knew I was just like everybody else, only I was saved by grace through faith. And for that reason, I was excommunicated, sent away, because the religion that was being taught wouldn't tolerate anybody who claimed that he was saved and going to heaven. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10 in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So here the word of God gives us very clear instruction on how it works. You can't know if somebody doesn't tell you. There's the word of God out there. You read it, and it's told you by reading. A preacher comes along, and you listen, and you hear it. When you turn on a radio station or a TV program, and a pastor teaches on salvation, you hear it. The word of God proclaims here, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. If the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace are beautiful, how much more are those who accept this message of salvation? God loves his creation, and the greatest desire in his heart is that humanity turn to him by faith, accept the way of salvation that he has given to mankind, turn to him, and become a child of his kingdom. This is the deepest desire of God, the creator of the universe. To turn to some religion and expect to be saved by that is spitting in the face of Jesus Christ, because as he screamed in agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he put the finishing touches on our salvation, we better pay close attention to that, because if we don't, we are going to be held accountable. So let the Lord open your heart to these awesome and interesting truths and make you a blessing. Amen. Preach the gospel to the nations, or to the masses, we don't try to force them to believe. Because the simple reason for that is that the ground has to be prepared, and we're the ones that are seeding, and we're the ones that are watering. The preachers of the gospel are doing that. It is not our job to give the increase. For the Bible teaches us the sower went out to seed, and he scattered the seed wherever it fell. Some fell on thorny grounds, some fell on rocky ground, some fell on good ground. Now, it is up to each individual to determine what kind of ground he is. Do you hold the eternities dear? Do you hold the eternal life that God gives to humanity dear to your heart? Then you're good ground, and you're going to take that seed, is going to spring up in your heart, and it'll bring forth fruit. You will become born again. But if you're nonchalant about it, you could be stony ground or thorny ground, where the word is choked up, and you could spend up your in the eternal lake of fire for the rest of your eternity. So it depends on each individual, on how he receives the gospel. We do not force you to accept it. We do not try to manipulate you into somehow joining us in our church. We simply preach the gospel. This is what I'm doing here on this radio program. I'm preaching the gospel for those who are listening, so when they hear, they can make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in John chapter 1, it tells us, those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. If you hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, if you hear about Jesus, you then can make a decision for Jesus. The ball is in your park. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 10, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there back, but watereth the earth, and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it." So he gives us an example here. As the rain comes down, it waters the earth, and the earth brings forth grain or vegetables or something like stuff like that. But sometimes rain falls on ground that does not produce fruit, and that's simply it. It tells us, so my word goes forth. And how does it word go forth? We the preachers, or we the Christians, we should bring forth the word to whosoever will even listen to us. And the Bible teaches us it will not return void. Regardless how bleak it looks sometimes, the word of God has power in itself to work on people's hearts. And the Bible teaches us it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things where I send it. So the word of God which is preached, the gospel which is preached, it has its own power. You don't have to twist nobody's arms to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel has enough power to open people's hearts. And if people reject it, that's up to them. But for those who truly want to enter into the kingdom of God, they will accept it, even if it's on their deathbed. I know of people who are very steeped in religion. They have been raised in religious systems. They have even asked me, how do we get to heaven? And I explained the simple way of salvation. That word, if they truly are serious about how to get into heaven, regardless how steeped in their religion they are, they will take the word of God, they will study what I told them, or whatever the Bible has written for them, and they will believe it if they truly want to go to heaven. This is how it works. My word will not return void unto me. So open your heart to these interesting truths and become a blessing to those around you. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.